In the Chaos Ardo Kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, celebrating our 38th year, America's longest running radio food show, with my co-host, Emily Ash Lamb. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning, Steve. Welcome back.
Well, did you miss me?
I missed you. I missed doing the show, but I know that you had a Midwestern experience last week.
I call it a heartland experience.
A heartland, better,
there's a reason
well
for
put.
It. Beautiful, friendly people in the heartland in Illinois and Wisconsin and Michigan.
Yes.
And we spent great time along Lake Michigan.
Beautiful.
Dining on authentic peaches and apples. Mm. And we're a little too early for the sour cherries back in Michigan.
Okay.
Deep dish pizza in Chicago. We did the whole Midwest thing.
What was the highlight? What was the best dish?
Oh, God. I can't.
If you had to pick one.
Don't put me on the spot. I would have to say I'm a big deep dish pizza fan.
Yeah, it's hard to pass.
Yeah,
that.
We like a place called Pequot's. Mm. Other people, when we tell them, go, no. I mean, you want to start a fight in Chicago, talk about your favorite deep dish pizza.
Right.
We had a great time. We saw
Good.
Our family.
Great.
And just a great, meaningful 7-8 days.
Sounds wonderful.
In the Midwest, it was lovely.
Great.
Last year, we had the pleasure of speaking to Kenji Taguma. Kenji's involved in the Northern California Soy and Tofu Festival.
Mm.
I think this is the only one of its kind. And we had such a lovely conversation with Kenji that we thought we would invite him back for a few minutes to talk about the 2026 Soy and Tofu Festival.
Wonderful.
Come discover the joy of soy. It's next Saturday, the 13th, at the Event Center at St. Mary's Cathedral in San Francisco. Good morning, Kenji, and thanks for joining Emily and me this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. So you're doing it again. It's the Lucky 13th Festival. What are some of the highlights of this? I'm sorry, is it the 14th or 13th? 14th, pardon
14th.
Me. 14th
it's
Festival.
It's the 14th on the 13th.
there it is. Got
thank
it.
You. That's very, very confusing. Thank you. The largest selection of vendors in Northern California featuring soy and tofu. How did this festival begin? Who was sitting around thinking, we should do something like this?
Well, the Nichibei Foundation started in 2009, really rose out of the ashes of the historic Nichibei Times, Nichibei Shimbun, Japanese-American community newspaper that goes back to 1899. And we had to initiate a fundraiser of sorts. So some younger folks in the community wanted to resurrect a smaller tofu dessert competition we had in early 2009 before the Nichibei Times folded. And then we put together a festival in the Japantown Peace Plaza in just a little over 2 months. And it continued to grow and grow. And then we realized that we had to charge admission in order to make any money. So we moved it to the Event Center at St. Mary's Cathedral, which is a much larger footprint and allows us to do things like cooking demonstrations. And now we started the art contest a couple of years ago. This is the third year we're doing the youth art contest, which is really grown and evolved from, you know, we have entries from 12 different states throughout the country, from Hawaii to Florida to the Carolinas.
Wow.
So it's really amazing how youth can interpret soy and tofu.
Right.
So you say we had to initiate an admission fee. How much is the admission fee?
I was going to say the same.
Admission is only $5.
Yeah.
you're going to get that much in free samples. So.
Right.
It's well worth it. You can participate in tofu eating contest and get your mouth and face full of tofu.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different vendors and freebies that people are.
And you have free parking available. It's almost unheard of in San Francisco.
I was going to say.
Yes. I think Stonestown Mall is the only other place I can think of that has that much free parking. But there's a couple hundred parking spaces, and then we also have a free shuttle coming to and from Japantown, which is only a couple blocks away, but they have a larger parking garage there. So we want to contribute back to Japantown and make sure people contribute to the local Japantown economy. So we make it simple for people to go back and forth throughout the day.
And it's much more than just food. It's much more than tofu and soy products and all that sort of thing. It sounds like you have music and dance. And I mean, it's really like a cultural festival you're having. Am I right?
Yes, it's part foodie fest, it's part cultural festival as well, cultural empowerment. We have, you know, entertainers representing various Asian groups and from Sacramento to San Jose, Japantown, from Taiko to Japanese Taiko to Filipino kulintang, K-pop dancing.
Nice.
Which is very popular now. And we have cooking demonstrations, and we have some fee-based cooking workshops, whether it's tofu making or ice cream parfait, tofu ice cream parfait. We have Chef Reina of the Laughing Monk doing vegan sisig, a Filipino dish. We have Henry Chu doing yuba making demonstration. Yuba is what they call the sashimi of tofu. When you cook soy milk, that skim, that layer on top that formulates is yuba.
Yeah, it's a tofu skin. It's the skin.
Yeah. You can't really get it. I mean, when you get into the Asian markets, it's really that old dry stuff. It doesn't look too appealing.
No.
But there's one manufacturer in Oakland that makes the only fresh, you know, tofu. Yuba manufacturer in the country. So
is that Hodo Foods?
It is Hodo. Uh-huh. Hodo's been a partner of ours from the very beginning. Mm. And then we're going to have, you know, tofu tiramisu cooking demonstration, and natto, which is fermented soybeans, which is a acquired taste for many. Some people love it. Some people tolerate it. Some people...
it's an acquired taste, I would say.
Yeah. Many forms of tofu, and we're really excited because for the second year we're bringing what I think is the best handmade artisanal tofu that I've ever had, Meiji Tofu, from Gardena in Southern California. So they donate a bunch of Kumidashi Supreme Tofu, which is, they use double the soybeans, so there's a lot more flavor. And it's just like pudding. It's just so delectable. And we'll be selling that as a fundraiser. And then we have a new, small business from Santa Cruz called Hakuya Probiotics, and they make miso and miso dressing in small batches. So we're excited to share that new product, as they are moving towards expansion to the greater Bay Area, out of Santa Cruz. We're really happy to be introducing them. Yeah, as well as our past sponsors and product donors like Impossible Foods, Bachan's Japanese barbecue sauce, Morinaga, which we do turn into Morinaga strawberry banana smoothies and matcha smoothies. And a lot of great different mashups, like the Impossible Bachan's Impossible Burger, where we take two products and mash them together, Bachan sauce and Impossible Burgers.
Well, you have sold this festival to our listeners and to us. It is next Saturday from 11 till 5. Why can't you do it on Sunday so I can come down there? It's hard. I'm going to do my best, though, after the show.
You could always bring the show mobile.
Oh, hey, Emily, would you like to broadcast live from the Tofu Festival?
Tofu fan.
Let's work on that for next year. It's the event center at St. Mary's Cathedral. That's right on Gulf Street at Geary Boulevard in San Francisco's Japantown, 11 to 5 next Saturday. And if you want further information about a lot of things we talked about this morning, www.soyandtofufest.org. www.soyandtofufest.org. Put it on your calendar. This would be a fun event to go to. And thank you, Kenji, for joining Emily this morning. This was fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great fest.
All right.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Doesn't it sound fun?
Oh, I would love it. I think it sounds great.
And, you know, they have in the Coney Island the hot dog eating contest. You're going to feel a lot better eating a lot of tofu.
I had that same thought.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back and meet some of the guiding lights of the Santa Rosa Junior College Culinary Kitchen right here in Santa Rosa, California.
Hi, I'm Dr. Stanley Jacobs of the Jacobs Center for Cosmetic Surgery in Healdsburg, and I'm very excited to introduce you to Dr. Alessandro Cusano.
Hi, I'm Dr. Cusano, craniofacial and aesthetic plastic surgeon with extensive experience in aesthetic and reconstructive surgery of the face, as well as aesthetic surgery of the breast and body.
Dr. Cusano will be taking over here at the Jacobs Center in 2026. He is fellowship trained in three different disciplines, including craniofacial plastic surgery from the world-renowned Johns Hopkins Hospital Hospital. We're excited to welcome Dr. Cusano as he brings the latest techniques and procedures to us in Sonoma County.
Thank you, Dr. Jacobs. And if you've been thinking about an aesthetic procedure, I invite you to give me a call at the Jacobs Center or reach out online at thejacobscenter.com. I'm looking forward to meeting new patients and sharing in your personal journey to becoming your best self, both inside and out.
For more information about procedures offered by the Jacobs Center, visit thejacobscenter.com. That's thejacobscenter.com.
When it comes to your home, comfort and efficiency matter more than ever, especially now with all the new regulations changing how gas water heaters are installed here in California.
Yeah, and that's exactly why we're stepping up for homeowners.
If your water heater is getting up there in age, now is the perfect time to look at smart, energy-efficient electric options.
Totally. We've got everything from modern electric water heaters to those high-efficiency heat pump systems that keep you ahead of the curve, save energy, and help you avoid future headaches.
And if you're thinking about going electric beyond just the water heater...
Oh, we've got you covered. EV charging stations for your home, electrical panel upgrades, whatever you need to make sure your system can handle today's demands.
And the best part, you're working with a trusted local company that knows Sonoma County homes inside and out.
Whether you're upgrading, replacing, or just planning ahead, start with the pros who do it right the first time.
Call 707 Plumbers and Electric today or visit us online to schedule your estimate.
And now, you know what time it is.
707 Plumbers and Electric.
Attention Marin and Sonoma residents. Did you know that the services provided by the Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District are funded by property taxes and are available to you at no extra cost? That's right. From mosquito control to providing helpful advice on rodent prevention, we've got you covered. Need assistance with ground nesting yellow jackets? We can help with that too. Don't forget, we also offer free mosquito fish. Learn more about our services and how they benefit you at msmosquito.org.
Does your business need advertising but cash flow is a challenge? Then contact us at the My Sonoma Deals program. It's a cashless program based on trade. Are you a restaurant, a golf course, a boutique, car wash, bowling alley, jewelry store, or florist? There are so many categories. Contact My Sonoma Deals now to find out if your business qualifies. Just go online to mysonomadeals.com and click on contact. That's mysonomadeals.com and click on contact.
News, talk, community, KSRO.
So in honor of our little tofu discussion,
yes,
we have posted some terrific tofu recipes created by your dad, Chef John Ash.
We love them. Yep, we've got some, there's three different soups to start it off. A lovely miso soup with a little tofu and wakame, and dashi with crab and tofu, and a couple more there. There's a wonderful, there's something.
But I love one because I've made this one, the kefir and lemongrass soup. Because Dad had a lemongrass growing right there on his property.
Well, and kefir. Well,
and kefir
and
lamb.
We don't call it that anymore, am I right?
That's
we call
inappropriate.
It makrut, I believe.
Cultural misappropriation.
Correct. But I now have his tree. His makrut lime tree is at my house now. Yep. Not doing as well as it was it is. I need Rachel, but yes.
And then the shabu shabu, the famous soup from Nancy Singleton Hachisu from her book Japanese Farm Food. When she was here, she gave us that, gifted that recipe.
And
John Caesar salad.
Yeah, using tofu instead of the raw egg. So something for something to try if you can't do raw egg or don't want to.
And then the soy roasted tofu with Asian greens. And that's a great oven technique. And anybody
it
can
is.
Do that at home.
Great with seafood as well.
We also had the tofu and noodle salad with peanut sauce. Room temperature. Substitute anything else you want.
This is like one to make and have around for
cucumbers,
a few days.
Some raw cabbage. Yeah. It's really quick and easy.
Definitely.
Then Thai curry with tofu and zucchini. I love what John wrote. Everyone needs at least one tasty tofu dish to convince the non-believers that tofu can be really good.
Because he was a non-believer, let's be honest. He was not a tofu fan, I don't think.
But he created these terrific recipes.
He did, and they were very good.
So if you can't make it to next Saturday's Big Tofu and Soy Festival in San Francisco, you can recreate some of these great dishes in your home kitchen. Well, here's a face that I first met 26 years ago. Her name is Betsy Fisher, and we collaborated doing the first ever Kentucky Derby Festival with the Santa Rosa Junior College Culinary Department. It's nice to see you.
Thanks, Steve. We've seen each other several times in the last 26 years, haven't we?
And also, Shelley Kaldunsky, who we've had on the show before. It's nice to see you again, Shelley.
Hi. Yes, good to see you both.
Both of you are instrumental in the success of the Santa Rosa Culinary Program at the SRJC. You've collaborated for many, many years together. Mm-hmm. And we're here for a happy and sad occasion. Betsy Fisher has retired from the Junior College Culinary Program.
I have. It's been about 2 weeks now.
And you're, has it been only...
Still sinking in.
Has it sunk in yet?
A bit, but what's interesting is that I have never really taught in the summer before. We really don't offer our classes in the summer for a lot of good reasons. One is our students usually want to work in the summer and make money. So we have found over the years that students just don't want to be in class in the summer, so we don't offer our classes in the summer, which means Shelley and I rarely have taught in the summer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not teaching right now, not because I'm not retired, but I'm retired, but I never taught in the summer. So what I'm saying is I don't have a big difference yet. The difference for me will be in July when I start thinking about, okay, I got to start preparing for my classes coming up in August,
right.
And I won't be doing that.
Well, maybe you'll be sitting on a beach thinking of
I don't know. But it's good, and I've got some things in the fire, and planning to do a lot of sleeping.
Nice.
Oh, that's a lot.
That sounds good.
Because jealous.
The job is big. Shelley and I will, I'm sure she'll agree with me. We have weeks where we are just totally exhausted from all the things that is involved behind the scenes in a culinary school.
And did you share co-culinary chair?
Yeah, we did for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So, being a chair just is a rotational thing through the full-time faculty in every department in a college. So whether you're in the math department or nursing or science, full-time faculty, part of their role as a full-time faculty person is to take on the management of the department. Mm-hmm. And that chair role rotates between all the full-time faculty.
So what classes did you teach for most of your career at the JC?
Well, I'm the one I always call the non-chef, and I'm not a chef, but I'm the front house person and the restaurant management type person. So I taught restaurant operations, I taught our restaurant wine service and wine tasting class, beverage management, our front of the house class for the restaurant, Cafe Rose. Our careers class.
Yeah.
And we have a field trip class that I taught to bring our students out into the world of meeting employers who could potentially be their employers someday, but to also give them a look at, you know, the real world out there. Because our students are pursuing studies and all kinds of things, but they don't really know the breadth that's out there. So we like to introduce them to employers and local businesses as much as we can. I mean, could we be in a better place in the world to show students, you know, everything from bakeries to hotels to wineries to caterers, everything. And all of those businesses were always happy to have us either meet them there or come to our classes or just get involved with us. And that's one of the things I'm proudest of, I think, is getting our employers to recognize that, you know, we're trying to do things for folks who are interested in food but don't really know where to go yet.
Well, I run into people in the food and wine world every week at least that took a class at the JC Culinary. Everybody.
Yeah. And Shelley and I run into students all the time, every single time we go to a bakery or a restaurant. I mean, it's one of the fun parts of our job.
Yeah. Shelley, can't go anywhere.
When did you come aboard the JC Culinary?
I started as a part-time teacher in 2007.
That was after your Martha Stewart stint?
Yeah, I just moved back here to Sonoma County. Yep.
Well, and you survived. I survived.
Yeah.
And I was saying to Steve, not only was it that you worked with Martha Stewart, but on baking, such a precise technique. I mean, I'm impressed.
Yes. No, it was an extraordinary experience.
So you were kind of the lead editor and recipe developer and tester for the Martha Stewart Baking Handbook. Is that right?
Yes. I developed the content. Yeah.
I'm going to interrupt and say, I like to say that Shelley taught Martha Stewart how to cook.
Hey.
She won't admit that.
I do. Yeah.
Well, we just got an email from the Martha Stewart legal team. You've infringed on Martha.
Wait, I said that. Oh, yes. That's good. Good. But, I not but have signed a few documents.
Yeah. But Betsy's retired, so they can't touch her.
Right.
So that's really an interesting training ground for you to work under some really heavy pressure and deadlines.
Yeah, you know, I usually tell my students, you know, working for Martha Stewart wasn't any different than working at high-level restaurants in any of the major cities I worked in. It really prepared me for that level of stress. And so the meeting of the deadlines and the precision that's required, it was all the same, just a different flavor.
Mm-hmm. And where did you work? What are some of the other cities and restaurants you worked for before that?
So I went to San Francisco right after. So I grew up in Sebastopol. And so I went to culinary school in San Francisco and then lived and worked in that
California
city.
California Culinary Academy?
I did, yeah. Yeah, the California Culinary Academy. Good old Tenderloin. Yeah. It was a great education.
Yeah. In more ways than one.
Absolutely. And so I lived and worked in San Francisco, which is such a great food city.
Yeah.
I spent a little bit of time in Los Angeles, but that wasn't really, the food scene wasn't then kind of what it is now. Mm-hmm. I think it's much better now than it was then. And then I moved to Virginia and worked at the Inn of Little Washington in Virginia, which was beautiful because it reminded me a lot of Sonoma County and the Rolling Hills. And it was fun to work at an inn or a bed and breakfast and that kind of experience, to have 24-hour service required of you. Like, that was different.
So this was your first teaching gig, per se?
No, I hadn't even taught yet. So this was just working as a pastry chef in restaurants.
Until you came to the JC did you begin a teaching
career?
Well,
I taught a little bit at the French Culinary Institute in New York. And so when I went to New York, I ended up, you know, working in a couple of restaurants, but my main experience, like work experience, was for Martha Stewart in New York. And we would do brief like workshops with the French Culinary Institute, where they would have like a holiday baking series. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of brought me with introductions into the people at that culinary school. And that kind of gave me the bug for teaching. Because I kind of realized, I really like this.
Sure.
And then I ended up moving back to Sonoma County.
And here we are. Today in the studio. Today.
Yeah.
So when I first dined at the Culinary Cafe, it was 1979. And it was part of the home economics program. And you could go, and it was Friday only. You had a complete lunch for $1.50, $1.75. Then it went up to $2, and everyone complained. But it was great. And it had always been Harriet had run the program back then. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, we got word that there was going to be a different standalone culinary concept and programming. When did that become solidified and taken out of home ec? Remember when? Was it the 90s sometime?
Yeah, it was the late 90s, I believe, because then we had a... It was very small, still very small, on campus. We went to the main campus,
Garcia Hall.
Right. And there was still a lunch on Fridays and all of that. But what was happening, you know, everybody says everything's about being in the right time and the right place. 1998, I believe, was when Food Network came on TV. And that was really the beginning of a lot of things in the food world. And so we eventually moved into the Brickyard. You know, then that was 2000, the year 2000.
Okay.
And that was because Michael Salinger, who was, you know, the founding chef as far as with Harriet, you know, had a vision to see that more people were becoming interested in cooking. Mm-hmm. And our local area was growing like crazy with restaurants. It always has and it always will. And even then, restaurants were short of employees because the restaurant folks got together in the early 2000s and asked us, Well, we sent out a survey upon their request, and because they wanted to kind of give us an idea of what we should be teaching at the Brickyard. And that's when it came out that they wanted us to be restaurant-based, because there were so many restaurants in Sonoma County that were looking for employees, so could we be, you know, the place to get those people? Right. And that's kind of what started the whole reason we became restaurant-focused. But, you know, it certainly grew out to also the baking and pastry stuff and all of that. So, and was kick-started because of Food Network, in my opinion, you know?
That type of interest. And here we are in the epicenter here in Sonoma. What a perfect place. And there was a support from, at that point, just very well-to-do winemakers in the community that really supported this type of education, because they were looking for staffing. And here was the perfect place to grow this program, wasn't it? So the Brickyard was, what, 3 or 4 years? How long were you?
No, 2000 to 2011.
It was that long?
Yeah, it was 11 years. And then we moved December of 2011. We had a party and say goodbye. And then we the Brickyard opened in January of 2012.
So the groundbreaking and building took about a year, year and a half?
No, I don't know, a couple years. I remember I live only 4 blocks from the Bordeaux Culinary Arts Center. So my husband and I would take regular weekly walks to watch the building literally come alive from the ground up. I don't remember how long it was. I'm sure it was at least a year, if not a couple
of
years.
There is an infamous gingerbread house that one of the instructors, Chef Kathy Burgett, created with her students, and it was a replica of the new building. And so she had her students create out of gingerbread. It was fantastic.
Well, I never saw that.
Fantastic.
That should be on your webpage. Is there photos
Where
of that?
Is that?
It was a nightmare for Kathy, so she probably burned the photos. But I thought it was fantastic.
You didn't have to do it.
Well, and I'm a big gingerbread fan. I mean, hey, I work for Martha Stewart. Like, this is, it's in my blood.
Yeah.
Martha's a big gingerbread fan.
Oh, holidays.
Holidays.
Of course.
We did
a few gingerbread episodes with different... there was a contest, I think, in
Sonoma
Valley.
Yeah, for years I would do it with students.
But we built gingerbread houses, and students won awards and stuff like that.
It is.
So, yeah, there's a lot of that. Yeah.
I love it.
But it was a real transition to go from the Brickyard to a 20,000 square foot building.
With three different kitchens or so?
Four
kitchens.
Yeah.
It's an astounding structure. It's still state of the art.
It really is. It really does not look any different than it did when we first moved in. We've taken really good care of it, and the college has supported us taking good care of it and understanding when we say, no, we have to replace the stove, or now we have to scramble to get the money and write the grants and all of that stuff. But,
well, the timing is perfect for you to be here, because the May 30th edition of the Press Democrat, Maria Carrillo High School, program spared, life-changing culinary pathway gets reprieve as other career programs face cuts. And they interview a couple students that are planning graduating Maria Carrillo, attending the Santa Rosa Junior College culinary program, specializing in baking and pastries. They talked to a couple of the seniors. They're set to enter the JC's program and going on to a great culinary career. So this is foundational, what you've been offering for 30 years.
Absolutely. I mean, it is a breathtaking facility, especially for the cost associated for students.
Right.
And so I'm always pitching it to students. What an extraordinary experience they get to have by coming to our facility to work with all of this state-of-the-art equipment. We try to have almost every piece of equipment you could possibly have so that they get an experience to at least work with it once or see it. So that when they're going out on the job, it's not brand new.
Right.
And the only downside to that is then they come back to us and they say, the kitchens aren't anything like these kitchens. You know, I'm working in a hole that's this big.
Why don't I have a dough sheet?
Or the safety and sanitation standards. You guys teach us really good stuff, and out there,
it's true. We need more out there.
Yeah.
Well, you spent a lot of your career in restaurants, too.
Oh, yeah.
So you and Betsy, as far as service and front of the house operations,
absolutely,
could have a whole several-hour conversation.
Oh, we could write a book, and then you'd have to kill us.
Let's take a break.
On that note.
perfect time to take a break. Shelley Kaldansky and Betsy Fisher from the SRJC, the Santa Rosa Junior College Culinary Program. I don't know that there's a finer culinary program at a community college anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you want to go to the CIA and pay $50,000 to $100,000 right. for a culinary education. This is a great career choice.
100%.
And not only for young 18, 19-year-olds, but even also reentry people that want to sharpen their skills. We'll talk about all of that that the JC offers us lucky folks here in Sonoma County. Emily Ash Lamb and me, Steve Garner, in the KS Auto Kitchen this morning.
Your home for news, weather, traffic, talk. Sonoma County's News Talk. KSRO Santa Rosa.
Looking for the perfect Father's Day gift? Skip the socks and ties this year and give Dad something personal from Shutterbug Camera Shop. Turn your favorite family photos into custom canvas prints, stunning metal prints, framed enlargements, photo books, mugs, and one-of-a-kind gifts dads really will treasure. Fishing trips, graduations, vacations, the grandkids, Shutterbug helps you turn memories into something unforgettable. And for film lovers, Shutterbug still develops film. From 35mm to medium format and black and white or color, this expert team can process your film and bring those classic moments back to life with beautiful quality and care. Plus, Sonoma County Fair season is here. If you're entering photography in the fair, Shutterbug can help with all the official mounting requirements needed to submit your work. From proper sizing and mounting to presentation, they'll make sure your photos are ready to impress. Celebrate Dad. Preserve memories. Create something meaningful. Visit Shutterbug on Santa Rosa Avenue in Santa Rosa or online.
Bedrosian's Tile and Stone is offering a special promotion. Right now, you can save 40% on select in-stock slabs. Visit Bedrosian's designer showroom in Santa Rosa to explore their wide range of slabs, including luxurious quartzite, durable granite, exquisite marble, stunning quartz, and amazing porcelain. This offer is available while supplies last, so hurry in to take advantage of the 40% discount on select in-stock slabs. Bedrosian's offers the largest selection of imported slabs and the most diverse collection of tile in the North Bay, as well as engineered wood and vinyl. And Bedrosian's certified showroom specialists will help you bring your dream space to life. An elegant new kitchen, bath, fireplace, or engineered floor from Bedrosian's can make a significant difference to your space. Remember, the 40% discount on select in-stock slabs is only available while supplies last. Visit Bedrosian's Tile and Stone at 700 Stony Point Road to explore their unbelievable showroom and take advantage of this special promotion today.
Now on My Sonoma Deals, step into a refreshing experience at Banshee Wines. For a limited time, get a $100 voucher for $50 at MySonomaDeals.com. Visit the tasting room to enjoy award-winning Pinot Noir and Coastal Chardonnay while spinning vinyl records. Whether you're relaxing on the dog-friendly patio or enjoying a flight, this half-price deal is the perfect excuse to visit Banshee. Grab your savings at MySonomaDeals.com.
Don't miss Brawl for All, July 18th at Herzog Hall in Petaluma, featuring local and regional boxers, including fighters from A&B Boxing in Petaluma, all fighting for a chance at the Olympic trials. Brawl for All is a USA Boxing sanctioned event, up close, high energy, and fun for all ages. Limited seating, so get your tickets now at NorthBayKnockout.com. General seating, $25. VIP, only $65. Doors at noon, first bout at 1. Powered by Eagle Distributing. Tickets at NorthBayKnockout.com. Brawl for All.
I'm Steve Garner, along with Emily Ash Lamb in the KS Auto Kitchen. You're learning all about the SRJC culinary program. We're so proud to have this in our community right there on Mendocino Avenue with the kitchen, the bakery, all the students that go through the program, and how much they've brought to food and wine and restaurant education here in Sonoma County.
Yeah. And I think I was just going, you know, you have so many different tracks you can do there, am I right? And there's, you know, the front of house, back of house, baking, I'm sure, maybe tell us a little bit about all these different tracks and kind of how long it takes for a student. You know, I have someone entering as a junior in high school at Maria Carrillo planning to do the culinary program there. And I keep talking to him about, like, you know, we're in this great place that you can keep going. How long would it take a student to sort of get through something? What do they get at the end? And my last part of that is, what about continuing education? Is there stuff for, you know, people that just want to go in and work on knife skills or anything like that?
Yeah, so we offer an associate's degree, and the associate's degree is probably, I would say, I don't know, Betsy, you think about 5% of our students, maybe 10% starts thinking they're going to do the associate's. But
you and I have seen over the last few years an increase in the people who come in thinking they're just going to do one certificate, and then they end up doing all three. And then we show them how, well, you've got all of that under your belt. Why not go a little further, particularly if we've identified a student as someone who has that potential to go into management and ownership and all of that.
Yeah, so we offer three different certificates: the culinary arts certificate, the baking and pastry, and the restaurant operations certificate. And so the student who's going for the associate's degree, it's an associate's degree which comes with two certificates, the way that you select your electives. Okay. And many of our students opt to get the associate's degree and all three certificates. And so a lot of times we will meet with a student initially and try to find out a little bit more about why they're coming to culinary school, what their goals are, and help to align their goals with what their education choices could be. And so it depends if they're a full-time student or a part-time student, because our program, the students don't go through as a cohort. They can stop and start every 8 weeks, because all of our classes are 8 weeks long.
Okay.
And there's 2 8-weeks in a semester.
Got it.
So they change classes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And many of them are working while they're in school.
I can imagine.
That's why the kind of the old-fashioned way of thinking that community college is 2 years and then you're out.
Sure.
Doesn't work anymore.
Right.
They're just doing too many things at the same time. And it's really great because, as Shelley said, they can come in and come out whenever they need to.
Right.
So it might take a baking and pastry student only 2 semesters to complete if they started at exactly the right time. And it might take them 3 semesters to complete. And the culinary arts certificate or the restaurant operations certificate can take 5 semesters. You know, 4 semesters if you're going really quickly and you're a very full-time student and maybe you're not working at the same time.
Right. But that's encouraging, at least, again, to me, with a couple of high schoolers going, okay, where are we going to go, you guys?
Yes.
You know, going like, this is
and
doable.
And I'm often saying, you know, this is a life skill. The stuff that we're teaching is life skill material.
Absolutely.
So there's no risk in going to culinary school and then figuring out, oh, maybe I don't think I'm going to do that for a living. I might do something else. Like, the hospitality skills that you pick up are going to enhance your life in every possible way.
100%.
Not to mention the cooking, you know, and the baking is just, you're going to have friends and people that want to be around you.
I have said that for years. I've been in this hospitality business my whole life, too. And for a brief time, I switched to floral design, just needing a break kind of from restaurants. And the only people we hired were, you know, bussers from our old restaurant and things, because I'm like, that hospitality mindset is transferable to anything. The work ethic that you get and the desire for excellence and completion and all those kinds of things really transfer, I think, to any business.
And that's why it's important, too, that we offer front of the house, back of the house, and even the management operations part, because students don't really know, most of them, what they want to do when they first come. It's funny because, you know, many of them will come in and they'll say, I just want to do the culinary certificate. I don't want anything to do with management.
Right.
And baking's too hard.
Sure.
But, you know, so they enroll and they all have the same prerequisite classes to start with. But what always happens generally is that, you know, they're in the same building with the same people all the time. They're classmates. And this classmate here says, what do you mean you don't want to do baking? Are you kidding? It's so much fun.
Right.
Or what do you mean? taking that restaurant operations class, you learn everything there is about the behind the scenes of a restaurant.
Right.
And so they practically recruit themselves.
Right.
And that's important for us, because the other part, the other big deal about being a full-time faculty member, not necessarily a chair, but full-time faculty, is we're responsible for recruiting and retention. Mm. It's important that we keep the lines open, that we're recruiting from Maria Carrillo and the other, I think, seven high schools that mm-hmm. we have agreements with. You have to keep that going, and you want to keep the students in mm-hmm. the program.
Right.
You know, life gets in the way, especially with young people. There's sure. been a lot of trauma since COVID and stuff. And so we touch base with them on a regular basis. That's one of the beauties of being a small program, because then we can really look them in the eye and find out that something's going on.
Right.
And they're hesitant about coming back for some reason. And often we can help them by pointing them to some resources that, mm. you know, one of the great things about the JC is the number of resources they have for all students. Health resources, psychological, medical, all kinds of tutoring and all of that. And so we like to make sure that they're going to keep going.
Right. Amazing.
Where do I sign up?
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, I want to go.
That's a good question. People ask us that all the time. And we do have to say, no, you know, anybody can go to community college. As far as entering the culinary program, anybody can enter it. But it is designed for people who want to work in the field. Mm-hmm. And I say that because there is a prerequisite class that everybody has to take, even if you're a chef who comes to us and sits down and says, well, you know, I've been working in the industry for 10 years and I think I'd like to take some of your classes. We can't do it that way. They have to start from the beginning. We don't know what your level of knowledge of sanitation and safety is. Sure. So that's the first class everybody has to take for obvious reasons.
Yep.
Plus, because Shelley has taught that class, plus you also familiarize them with our kitchens and get them to understand what they're going to be doing in that class.
We'll take a break at that point and be right back with Shelley and Betsy. Actually, we could talk for hours about this subject because it's such a great all-encompassing program, the Santa Rosa Junior College Culinary Program. You learn collaboration. You work. You look. It's teamwork. So many young people spend most of their lives on their phones or on their tablets. They're not comfortable socializing and interacting except with their friends out when they party. But to work in an environment where it fosters communication with adults, grandparents, waiting on people, having dialogues and interaction. These are life skills, like Betsy pointed out. And even math skills, English skills, reading skills. They teach a lot more than just how to dice an onion. I'll be back after this.
If you're crazy about your pets and love your livestock, then it's time to visit us at Larson's Feed and Pet Supply. Hi, I'm Ken Larson.
And I'm Amy Larson. We have everything you need to keep your animals happy.
Nutritious pet foods and top quality feed for your livestock. Horses, cows, goats, chickens, llamas, whatever you're raising.
At Larson's Feed and Pet Supply, we also have a wide selection of toys, treats, bedding, and accessories.
And when you need some expert advice, just ask. Our team can help you choose the right products.
Ranchers, hobby farmers, and devoted pet people make Larson's their only stop for supplying everything necessary for happy animals.
Stop by today and see why Larson's is a local favorite for everything feed and pet.
We're just west of Cotati on Gravenstein Highway and online at larsensfeedandpetsupply.com. Order online for in-store pickup or delivery.
Larsens feedandpetsupply.com. We're open 7 days a week.
Larson's Feed and Pet Supply.
Santa Rosa Diesel is your destination for everything diesel. Santa Rosa Diesel services all light-duty diesel vehicles and equipment. Santa Rosa Diesel is Sonoma County's diesel specialist in engine diagnostics and repair, oil changes, brakes, AC service, even pre-purchase inspections. The pros at Santa Rosa Diesel have almost 100 years combined experience in diesel fuel systems. If your check engine light is on, Santa Rosa Diesel will pull the code for you for free, let you know what the problem is, and what it's going to take to fix it. That's right, if your check engine light is on, Santa Rosa Diesel will pull the code for you for free. Also, with every oil change, you get a free safety inspection. Santa Rosa Diesel is your destination for everything diesel. Come to Santa Rosa Diesel for advice, diesel fuel injection sales and service, or when your diesel vehicle needs repair. 3649 Standish Avenue in Santa Rosa. Online at srdiesel.com. srdiesel.com.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft, but that's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes in your financial accounts, they'll alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Get the alerts that can make all the difference. Save up to 30% off your first year with the promo code BECK, LifeLock.com, 800-LIFELOCK, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or LifeLock.com. Use the promo code BECK at LifeLock.com.
Traveling can be stressful, but it doesn't have to be. Next time you're planning a trip, fly out of the Charles M. Scholl's Sonoma County Airport. With quick and easy check-in, on-site parking, and direct flights to 11 destinations, flying out of STS is the perfect way to start your journey. And with its convenient location, your trip starts sooner at STS. Grab a bite to eat, a glass of wine, and enjoy the beautiful new terminal. Book your next trip today at flysts.com. STS, half the distance, twice the experience.
News, talk, community. KSRO.
Time is flying by when we have two very articulate women from the Santa Rosa Junior College Culinary Program, Betsy Fisher and Shelley Kaldansky, both teaching for many years. But talk about the unique interaction that the culinary program has with Schoen Farm.
We have got the most breathtaking 365-acre farm that is associated with Santa Rosa Junior College that has its own program. And so they have an equine program. They're raising sheep out there. They have a full CSA program that students go through to create community-supported agriculture. And so we try at every opportunity that we can to partner with them to showcase as much of their produce as we can in our products that we have in for sale in our restaurant and in our bakery. We also have recently collaborated with an instructor out at Schoen Farm who has developed a class where students in the ag program are directly working with a chef. So they're utilizing one of our chef instructors, Chef Joni Davis, as the chef that they then get to meet with and consult, just the way that a farmer who's working at a farm-to-table restaurant would do, where they're designing what they're going to grow that year based on what the chef's going to offer in the restaurant.
So cool.
It's a great collaboration because they also, Schoen Farm also has Russian River Valley Vineyards, which, you know, Russian River Valley is one of the, you know, most heralded appellations in the world. And we sell their wine in the restaurant. And this is not like student-made experimental wine. I mean, these wines are top flight.
Sure.
And through some finagling and legal finagling we did with the ABC, we're able to sell wine in our restaurant. It took a lot of years of paperwork to figure that out because you can't really do wine in a public school, but we were able to do it. And so we serve those wines. So it really is a collaboration. You see Schoen Farm wines on our tables in the restaurant and a lot of cross promotion.
And your Best of Show olive oil.
The olive oil,
which is just sensational.
Incredible.
So there's the fast track for if you're going to go into professional cooking as a career, but there's also the community engagement classes too.
Yeah, we have a group of classes that we've developed which are a lot more suited for community members to come in and take cooking classes instead of standing in the kitchen for 8 or 9 hours, hot, sweaty, washing your own dishes all day. They're demonstration only. And so we've designed these classes to be only a quarter unit. You know, the college offers classes based on the unit. And so the class would meet twice, and the class is about 4.5 to 5 hours long, and you're seated in a beautiful, you know, room watching a chef demonstrate with, you know, a camera projection system so you can see really well. You can smell, all the senses are alive. It's kind of like, you know, taking a class at Sur La Table or Ramekins, the former Ramekins, something like that. There's a full tasting at the end of the class, so you're going to leave like nice and full. We're offering one of those classes this fall, and it's Eat More Vegetables.
Love it.
And so that class has no prerequisites, so anybody can sign up for that class.
Who's teaching that?
Joni Davis.
Oh, Joni is.
Yeah, Joni's teaching that class.
And probably some veggies from Schoen Farm.
Yes, we'll be showcasing for sure local vegetables. Love and it. So hopefully some Schoen Farm produce, because it's in September, I believe. So everything's in season in September.
And so someone would not have to take the sanitation course to take that.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, there won't be any hands-on cooking. Got it. Yeah, it's demonstration only.
So as far as the quality of education and the affordability factor, would you compare that to like a professional culinary school per unit? How do you break down the cost of a culinary education at the JC?
Well, we're a public school, like the CIA and others are private schools. So there's a whole just different way of the way they run and the way they're financed. Public schools are financed by, well, the public tax dollars and funding from state and federal governments, depending on, you know, where you are. We can keep our costs low because of the huge number of scholarships available, federal grants, state grants, and I think the last time we added it up, you can do all of our three certificates for under $10,000. And many students, we have students who are going almost absolutely free because of the number of scholarships, and the JC has the great, what's the famous scholarship?
The Doyle Scholarship,
yeah, absolutely.
For high school students.
Yeah, for high school students. And, you know, private schools, are, you know, they charge a lot of money. You know, and there's scholarships at private schools too, but we have to say, and we have friends who are faculty at some of these private schools, and they see what we have in our building, and they say, you got the same stuff we do. I mean, state of the art is state of the art. So our students understand that when they go through our program, they're getting just the same as they're getting at the CIA or somewhere else.
Yeah, they pay a food fee, and that's usually the largest fee that a student pays when they sign up for a class, and we get to tell them, you're eating your fees.
Yeah.
And so usually
can't do that with a book.
Yeah, we eat. If the class is more than 6 hours long, because some of our classes are 7 hours or more, we'll eat twice in the class.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that no student in culinary school should be hungry.
Sure.
So we eat, and then they go home with food, and that's kind of the beauty of it.
And some of them really, that will be the main food they eat in the day, because community colleges accept everyone. And we have students who are, you know, on the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder. They're first-generation college students. They're exploring where to be and how to be, so they need the assistance.
This has been very uplifting and exciting. We're down to the last 20-30 seconds.
I just wanted to ask, do you have a tour or something for prospective like students wanting to come there? Can they come check things out and be like, okay, I want to do this?
Yeah, we do it on we don't have a formalized tour schedule, because it's really just full-time faculty that offer the tours, so they certainly could reach out to me and send me an email. And then I'd be happy to arrange for a tour.
And you can give your email on?
Yeah, it's skaldunski, KALDUNSKI, @ santarosa.edu. And you can also find it on the website.
Great.
You can go right to the culinary program on the website.
Yes,
santarosa.edu.
Thank you, Betsy. Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So great
to
be
here.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Steve.
And most importantly, thank you, listeners, for keeping us on the air. We'll talk again next week.
If you're remodeling an existing kitchen or bathroom, Cabinets 101 in Rohnert Park is your local Diamond Certified company. With a huge selection of quality wood cabinets, stainless and porcelain sinks, quartz and granite countertops to suit any kitchen or bathroom. Here's another satisfied Cabinets 101 customer.
I got 3 estimates for my bathroom renovation, and Cabinets 101 was by far the most affordable. Stan helped me through the entire process, and he was not only funny, but he made me feel so comfortable and safe. That's important to me, because I am an independent woman who relies on the integrity of business owners, not